Good evening, everyone. This is host Terry Lynn Coop with the Blue Plate Special, and we're headed to the beach tonight for a little luau. I am serving up mystery and sci-fi writer Bill Hatfield. He's a Michiganer who headed to Gainesville, Florida, and that's where he lives now when he's not writing interesting, humorous mysteries set down in Key West. And rumor has it that he also likes sci-fi, will head out on the convention circuit, and he will head to a piano whenever he gets a chance. So why don't we just start right there? How you doing tonight, Bill?
Oh, I'm doing well. If I could interrupt just for a sec, I write as William. So if you look for me on Amazon or whatever as Bill, you'll find me on Facebook, but everything else will be as William Hatfield. Yeah.
Got that, everybody? If you're looking on Amazon or any other booksellers, you're going to want to look under William Hatfield. And I do know that, because if you look under Bill, you're going to find books that are not his. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the books that are yours? Since we're doing Beach Night tonight, let's start with your Key West series.
Right. The first one in my TNT Key West series is called Menu for Murder. I started off writing science fiction, and I really like writing about people, but I have a certain number of family and friends who said, we just don't do science fiction, which I think is a little, unfortunate, but it is what it is. So I said, well, I'll write a mystery, because they said, well, if you write a mystery or something like that, we would, or a romance, we'd read that. And so I started off trying to do a traditional kind of mystery. I decided I wouldn't do it from a detective's point of view, since I don't really know enough about police procedures to do it without all my good friends catching me in every mistake I made on procedure. So I started coming up with the concept after we had just been to Key West. Actually, the second time we went, we were there for a bit of an extended vacation. And we decided to puddle jump across from Tampa to Key West International Airport, which will fit in most restrooms in large airports. It's a modest size. But anyway, so we sat there for 4 hours because, of course, our flight was late and leaving, and then watched people just parading in and out, from all over the world, and that was quite intriguing. And we flew back to Tampa, and then we drove up to Gainesville. And by the time we got up there, I had this idea for the story and a villain and the reason for what was going on. But I didn't have characters. Till a couple of days after I got back, one of my favorite employees ever said, Bill, tell me the truth. Jesse and I, we're your favorite employees ever, right? And I looked at her, and of course she was, and they both are. And I said, no, can't stand either of you, but who's got time to, train new people? I'd fire you if I could, but I just stuck with you. And she said, you should put us in your next book. And I looked at her, and I goes, well, I could do that. And I just had an epiphany about this Key West book. But if I do, I'd probably make you lesbian lovers. And they looked startled. They looked at each other, and then they said, okay, we're good with that. And so thus Jess and Jen became very loosely and not really the same character at all, but Tess and Tuesday. And I basically took the strongest image I could get from either one of them, as far as a memory goes of them and a visualization, and then created the character from that one visualization.
Well, that's typically all it takes. And I'm going to ask you to speak up a little bit.
Oh, sure.
No, the characters come to you in the most amazing places. I've pulled more than one character out of the local coffee shop. I'm not like literally pulled them out of it, but just sat there and went, you are so going in my next book.
Well, I take bits of people. I'm sorry. I've tried to always not just take a person and put them in because, one, I'd rather not get sued if I had them different than they like to be. But, two, it's more interesting to create your own characters with bits and pieces of other people, hairdos by a third person, and so forth. It's funny if you said I'm not being quite loud enough because I'm usually, accused of being quite loud.
No, not a problem at all. So what kind of mayhem do Tess and Tuesday get up to?
Well, first of all, Tuesday is, impulsive just doesn't begin to cover it. There are very few limits between her thought process and her mouth or, her hands and feet action. And she's like 5 foot nothing. As she likes to say, she's perky. up top, so to speak, and there's a bit of, you know, probably crass humor here and there, but it's always her doing it. But anyway, they just they moved to Key West on an urge, just out. We got to get away from Gainesville, Florida. We've just graduated from University of Florida, and we've discovered that we're in love. We're not gay. We're just in love. But let's move to Key West so we can openly live as a couple. And the first book really is they're coming to terms with the fact that, yes, they are gay. And by the end, they have come to accept that. And cause it was kind of a late in life, well, you know, for them at their age, early 20s, that they really recognized that, one, they were attracted to each other, and two, that was really what they were.
So how does what, I mean, I'm not saying this insultingly, but how does a middle-aged white guy write a couple of young gay women?
Very carefully, with a lot of research, but I'm a musician, so I have, you know, met a lot of artistic type people and a lot of straight, gay, bisexual, everything you can imagine. I have family that is gay, and I always wanted a sister, and I finally got one after I met my wife and married her, or she married me, depending on your point of view. But I got to know a lot of people, and I really like to get in and think of it from the way that they would act, they would think. And really, I was willing to take this risk on because in my science fiction series, I have a young girl, a teenage girl, who's, as she puts it, she's 15, almost 16, going on 17. And then, of course, when she has her birthday, she's 16, almost 17, going on 18, and very precocious. So I had several people come up after the first couple books in that series saying, how do you do a teenage girl? You've never had daughters. And you know, how do you do such a good job on teenage girls? And I mentioned that, well, you know, once I was in the right age group where I was dating them, you know. And a lot of my friends have daughters. And it's just a matter of kind of wiping the slate clean and thinking in their terms. And unfortunately, the one I have the most empathy for in all my characters in the Key West series isn't the piano player from Michigan, who's straight, who gets a crush on both of them, which will go nowhere, by the way, ever. But it's really Tuesday, the motor mouth, crazy, impulsive girl. I feel like she's kind of some alter ego of my own. So I find that when I'm writing a book, like I do every summer, I'll go to a beach vacation for a week and get it all going, get myself back into shape from a long year, and get started on the writing process, and basically in about 12 weeks, write a novel. And I find that towards the end of that 12 weeks, I am acting like Tuesday, and I really have to behave at work. So it's kind of like, yeah, I guess it's like being an actor.
Beach vacation to get your book started. Man, it's suffering for your art.
Yeah, I've heard about sleeping in the summer. I have very little experience with that for the last 4 or 5 years.
So again, so these two girls, I mean, they're not cops, they're not lawyers, they're not private investigators or anything, are they? So are these more of like a cozy style, an amateur sleuth style,
well,
or what?
It's like real life in that you don't realize what's going on around you at most points in the day. They work for one of the tourist trap, you know, businesses. Tess, who's kind of a mild, she's got a big background in ballet, and she's kind of timid, but she acts as the, I guess you'd say, a cashier or receptionist or whatever for the little hut where they book, you know, getting on the sunset champagne cruise or the going out snorkeling 4-hour cruise on a catamaran or renting jet skis, that kind of thing. And Tuesday actually works one of the tall ships that does the champagne, you know, sunset cruise. And mm-hmm. So they work for this one, you know, tourist trap company. And when they get done, they go to the local haunt that has become their favorite. And they're on quite a budget, but they've somehow, there are two guys there that one owns it, or one's the manager, one's the bartender, and they're brothers. And they're like the, you know, twin towers, you know, 6 foot, 6.5 feet tall, both of them, ex-military. They never smile, they never laugh. But somehow they've, you know, developed an appreciation for the girls. And so they go in there and hang out. And if it's good tips, you know, they drink daiquiris. And if it's bad, you know, tips, they share a rum and coke. And every now and then they'll get a guy to buy them a drink, thinking that there's actually somewhere they're going to go, and they don't. But and Nathan has wandered. He's the guy, had come down for his own personal reasons to Key West and thought, you know, well, I'm a good musician. I can just waltz into any, you know, bar in Key West and get an audition. If I get an audition, I'll get the gig. Well, if you've ever lived in a tourist trap town, you know that's not how it works. If you go to Treasure Island, the Daiquiri Deck, every Friday night, Kevin has been playing Friday Night Happy Hour for probably 6 or 7 years now. And that's how tourist traps are. You know, they don't need to turn over the entertainment because the clientele turns over. And so that's how they meet, is in this bar that becomes one of the major areas of the most of the activities. But there's
so
murder
the,
in there.
So that's how the mayhem.
I'm sorry? Uh-oh. Are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am. Can you hear
good.
Me?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
That's where the mysteries come from?
Well, that's kind of the start of it. The first book, there is a murder in the community that the girls have ended up living in, and Nathan's been over visiting, and eventually, I'm not going to give too much away, but spends a lot of time over there. It's a community of all gay residents. The owner of the it's five old, you know, houses that have been cut up into apartments with a common area, pool area, and hot tub and all that, and tiki hut area. And the owner is an old friend of Tess's, mentor back in college, and possibly, you know, an ex-lover or whatever. But they end up living there, even though they say, well, we're not gay. And, of course, the owner looks at him and goes, just sign the paperwork.
So how many books are there in the series?
There's three so far.
Okay.
Menu for Murder, with that murder in the community. And then the second one, the year before Irma came out, I wrote Blown Choices, which is more puns than I realized when I started writing it. But it's basically hurricane season. It's their first hurricane season. And that old problem, do we stay or do we go? They're not very good at this. So every time they make a decision, it's the wrong one for that current hurricane. And
cool.
The final scene is a Category 4 hurricane clobbering the crap out of Key West with a serial killer.
As one does.
Of course, they cross paths. Pardon?
As one does.
Yes. And
a little
then Irma came out the next year, and that kind of had people calling me saying, Bill, how did you know? And I goes, no, I didn't.
Exactly. So you also, you've mentioned it too, that you write science fiction?
Mm-hmm. Yes. First Contact with Aliens. Your typical cruise where you're on a cruise ship that's going across the North Pacific, and it gets hijacked by an alien ship with everybody on board.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, you know, nickel for every time that's happened to me.
Now you have, you know, girls on the beach, you have aliens on the beach. I'm catching a theme here.
Well, the aliens aren't actually on the beach. They're stealing a cruise ship full of people. But they're over the beach, I guess you could say.
And is this also a series?
Yes, it is. The first one, it starts off when they're hijacked. One of the main characters is a martial arts movie star, kind of like Chuck Norris, but not 80 years old. And he and he can act, too. And he leads a rebellion. His cast and crew are on board on a publicity stunt. They lead the rebellion against the aliens. And then the sequel, I guess, some of them back to Earth. And, you know, you've been gone for 4 months. You were on a cruise ship. The cruise ship didn't come back. And what do? Do you go to work Monday and say, well, boy, did I have a bad cold for 4 months? Or do you, you know, call up the National Enquirer and try and sell them a story? Do you contact the U.S. government because you just know they'll do the right thing with a spaceship in your backyard?
Absolutely.
With all that. Oh, yeah, of course, you can count on that. And then in the third book, Tough Crowd, the aliens follow them back to Earth. And it's a pretty rough day for everybody, including the aliens, I might add.
Well, of course, because the good guys have to win.
Right. And since the main character is a martial arts movie star, the series is one called Fists of Earth, because Feet of Earth just seems silly. And, yeah, I know. And two, all the titles They're theatrical-based, captive audience, dual roles, tough crowd, and there's more to come.
I was going to ask, is this a continuing series?
Yeah, I'm going to have at least 6 and possibly 9 books in the series. I was thinking about doing, I like to really annoy some of my anal retentive friends and tell them, well, I'm doing a 9-part trilogy. And because, of course, that's not what a trilogy is. But yeah.
It's 3 trilogies.
It might be 6. I haven't decided yet because I want some time to pass between the third one I wrote a couple years ago and the next one for, you know, in the story. I want the characters to age a little bit. But I haven't quite decided what all is going to happen to everybody yet. I mean, I know what the big story is, but the people themselves, I'm kind of holding off on that. Plus, writing the Key West series is just too much fun. I've already got the next one planned. I'm starting on it in 2 weeks. It's going to be Fantasy Fest, their first serious fantasy fest in Key West.
So you're going to have to take a beach vacation, of course.
Well, we are going to Key West in September, yes. But I'm hoping to have the first draft done by then. But if not, I'm sure that'll inspire me to finish that sucker. Yeah, we're going to go do a little
research.
Yeah.
Now, you say you like sci-fi conventions?
I do. I go to quite a few of them, actually. Yeah.
So what's up on the docket next?
Well, a week from right now, I'll be in Orlando at MegaCon. I have an author, I always call it Author Alley, but it's in the Artist Alley. I have a table, and I'll be selling my books. And my wife actually makes jewelry, and I put some of her pieces in some of the stories, because when you have a storyline where you got 6 women sitting in a room talking, you know, things are, you know, not the main topic of the plot is going to be the only thing talked about. So one person saying, hey, that's a nice necklace you got there. Where'd you get that? Well, there's this crazy little old lady down in Treasure Island. She's got a really cool website. At which point my wife asked me once, did you really call me a crazy little old lady in your books? And I found some yard work to do.
I was going to say, that's pretty much death wish right there.
Yeah. So we sell that. Oh, and by the way, at my table at MegaCon, I always bake cookies before I go.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always fresh baked goods for those people that need a sugar rush at MegaCon. At table
so tell me more.
But I'm not going to bring that up.
Tell me more about MegaCon. What is anybody who goes to it? What are they going to see?
Well, this year, as we have for the last 4 or 5 years, you're going to see over 100,000 people, and probably at least half of them in costume.
Cool.
The first year I went, I believe this is going to be my 6th in a row, and I was just amazed at the just constant parade and crush of people. Now they've enlarged the space they use, and they've come up with a little better floor plan. So the crush, it's going to be busy. There's going to be a lot of people, but it's not like it was, where you literally could spend a half hour trying to walk down an aisle, you know, 40 yards. And but it's going to be busy, and there's going to be everything you can imagine, from jewelry to T-shirts to books to movies, and any kind of fan or celebrity related item you can think of.
And there's going to be panels as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I got approved for 2 panels, one on Friday next week and one on Saturday morning.
So what are you going to be talking about on the panels?
Well, the first one's going to be an overview of the writing process. It's interesting. MegaCon is an anomaly in that when you have a writer's panel, you get a good turnout. And the first year I ever went, you know, we were laughing because we had a 2 o'clock. I was sharing a table with a friend of mine, T.S. Robinson, and we're walking to the panel, and Jim said, or Tim said, they gave us a double room. It's Friday afternoon. It's a writer's panel. What are they thinking? Well, the double room was packed. There were a couple hundred people in there. And I asked,
excellent.
So, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, out of curiosity, how many people here are would-be or active writers? How many people here want to write? And just about everybody raised their hands. So we, you know, I always try to have a basic. This year, it's called "From Birth of an Idea to the First Box of Books," and it's a discussion on the writing process. And hopefully,
a beach vacation going to be one of the steps?
No, the beach vacation is the week or 2 weeks after MegaCon. Yeah, MegaCon's in a week, and the beach vacation. Well, I see what you're saying. As part of that,
yeah.
No, that's my plan. Everybody has their own plan. Yeah.
That's your secret that you're not going to share. I hope you know you just said that on live radio.
Well, actually, I'm happy to share. I don't keep secrets. You know, it's funny. You'll meet somebody who's very concerned about giving. It's like a recipe. You ever met somebody and they brought something to a party and you go, that's really good. Can I get the recipe? And they'll say, no, it's a family recipe. Or it's mine, you know. I'm not that guy.
What's your other panel on?
It's writing with flavor. There are so many more flavors than vanilla, both in ice cream as well as writing. The more diverse the content, whether it's character backgrounds, personalities, genders, or geographical or temporal setting, the tastier the end product. And I'm just a big believer that too many really good books could have been great books had they had a little more diverse, cast of characters.
Well, I've heard, and I'm hoping to join it soon, that there's definitely a vibrant writers community in Florida.
Well, there is. I mean, there are a lot of writers. I mean, I've met so many really nice people that happen to be very good writers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did my very first reading in Florida when I was down there in the last time. So it was a noir at the bar. So I'm hoping, I'm actually planning on moving down there this fall.
Oh, where to?
That is still not 100% set yet, but Florida.
Do yourself a favor. Check the floodplain of wherever you move to.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I'm up to here with. So hopefully we'll be at least state neighbors by the next time we talk.
Well, that would be cool. We get around the state. We don't get a whole lot below, say, Fort Pierce across to St. Pete. But, we occasionally do go farther south. I went to a UFO convention in February. And I'm going to bring it up because it was so much fun. But I write science. I was invited because I write First Contact with Aliens science fiction. And I had more than one person come up and say, how much of these stories are based on, personal experiences? And I looked at him and he goes, it's science fiction. He goes, oh, so how much of it was from what happened to you? And if you know me very well, you know how almost irresistible that is. I had somebody do that about 6 years ago at Necronomicon down in Tampa. And that's a literary sci-fi convention every October. And it's all about the books and the writers and the readers. And it's different from MegaCon, which is more celebrity and cool cosplay and stuff. But I had somebody come up to me and goes, is this fact or fiction, looking at my first book? And I says, oh, it's autobiographical. And he looks at me and goes, really? I goes, no. And he goes, but in the second one, Dual Roles, I got back home alive. He goes, really? Still no.
You and I both know that that's what the government told you to say.
Yeah, right.
So I'm good. You should come to BoucherCon in St. Pete's in September.
In St. Pete, Florida?
Yeah.
BoucherCon?
It is the number one mystery fan conference in pretty much the universe.
No kidding. I've never heard of it.
Absolutely. BoucherCon, BoucherCon, just Google it or look it up on Facebook, and you should come. It's in St. Pete's, and it's just epic. And it's mystery. It's primarily a mystery convention.
Date of it again?
Well, it's in September. I should have it memorized. I don't. I don't have it tattooed on my hand or anything.
Well,
sorry,
it
Aaron.
It might be when we're in Key West, and I got to tell you.
But check it out.
Just
give
it
a Google and check it out.
Oh, I will definitely check it out and promote it in any case. I'm always about
doing
that.
It's going to be an absolute ball. It's home of the Anthony Awards, and it's just going to be an absolute blast. So right now, though, if anybody wants to run across you, they can find you at MegaCon, and where's that held?
That's at the Orange County Conference Center. It's got an actual exhibition hall. I can't think of what it's called, but
it's in Gainesville?
No, it's in Orlando. Yeah.
Orlando.
Right down there on International Boulevard.
So you're going to be at MegaCon in Orlando next weekend.
Right. Table 332A.
Okay. And there are cookies.
There are cookies. I'm probably going to bring pineapple cookies, which are pineapple flavored with white chocolate and walnuts and soft and gushy. And then I think I'm going to bring chocolate peanut butter cookies.
Perfect.
Both my own recipes.
If people want to find you on where the online books are sold, they can find you under William Hatfield.
Right. If you type that in, especially under the book, subject, I pop right up. And actually, if you just type it in on Amazon, I'm usually on
right.
the first page there. Yeah, I have an author
and
page.
They can find your author page on Facebook under William Hatfield, right?
Well, you can, but I really do on Facebook. I do most of the stuff as Bill. So, I mean, I have a Bill Hatfield Facebook. That's really where I do everything. So if you want to friend me, I love, new friends on Facebook. I love new experiences of meeting people. It'd be under Bill Hatfield. I started writing as William because my writing is, not good. My writing of fiction is excellent. My writing of my name or signing or anything is ugly. And I found that the B's look so childish that WM for William just looks so much classier. So I write as William because of my handwriting.
Well, and there is a Bill Hatfield that writes dummies books.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah. Now I understand something you said earlier. I didn't get that the first time you said
William, if anybody puts in Bill Hatfield, they will not find you. They will find books that are not you.
And that would be very sad.
And now on your Tess and Tuesday series, are these books standalone? Like if somebody wanted to go grab just the latest one, or do they need to go back to the beginning?
My books are standalone, which is why it's so hard to start each one of them, because I have to decide, all right, what information has to be dumped in there, and how do I get it into the story without doing previously on Survivor? I don't believe in doing that, kind of an introduction.
To just grab your newest book.
Yeah.
So
you could do it that way. I think you should read them in order because the character development and the long-term storylines that I run. But you could do it either way.
But you're not going to be lost. It's not like not like the one it's not episodic. Like one fanger and the next one picks up with previously.
Yeah, no, I don't believe in those. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is fantastic. And I really want to thank you for dropping by the diner.
It was a very tasty adventure.
We needed a little beach. It was time for a luau here. So
yes. And a menu for murder.
Absolutely. Yes. So, but that's our show tonight, and I hope you'll come back when you get your next book ready.
I'd love to.
And hopefully, I'll be seeing you soon in Florida this fall.
Okay, it sounds like a plan. I'll keep in touch because I'd like to find out where you end up moving to.
All righty. Thank you much. And everyone, that's our show tonight. I just need to remind you, as usual, that this broadcast is owned and copyrighted by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. And you can follow the Blue Plate Special on Facebook to stay up to date with the hottest authors served fresh off the grill. And with that, I'll say goodnight to everybody and thank you.